Find your way to Exodus chapter 32, and we'll start our study this morning. This time of year, you've probably watched or have watched at one time in your life a movie called It's a Wonderful Life. And it's a great movie, and it merely it came to my mind in this time that we're in right now that we have to kind of step back and see, do we have a wonderful life? And how accurate is that? But I want to do that with biblical reasons. In the movie, you remember George Bailey, and he was a little bit anxious to go traveling. He had his travel plans always, figured where he was going to go to this place and that island and all this other stuff. He wanted to be a traveler, but ended up... He had his money saved up, and he got married, and they were going to go on this wonderful honeymoon, and then the bank collapsed, and the bank and loan, and so he had to spend his money to keep that floating. He got a little depressed, and then Potter told him what? It's better, you're worth more than you are dead than you are alive. And so I just synopsized the movie, and so what did he do? He says, it would be better for me that I was never born. Okay. And then he goes on through the movie to show what his life would be like. Oh, Clarence the angel had connections, I guess. And so he ran time back and showed him what his life would be like. And so let's, with that in mind, in Exodus chapter 32... in verse 32, this is Moses, and 32, it says there, yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book, which thou hast written. So there's Moses comes down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments. They're partying hardy down there and making gods of gold and whatever, the calves. And ends up, Moses gets upset, throws the tablets down, and he makes a judgment there, and he says, whoever's on the Lord's side, come with me. And then whoever's not, they got swallowed up, I believe, and the earth opened up, and they got swallowed by the earth. So there was a judgment there. But he said Moses was, he's doing everything he can. And then these people are just going, forget it. We're just going to do this and we're turning away from God. And Moses at that time is an intercessor or what we call a mediator. And he says, Lord, if you're not going to save these people from being judged, then just blot me out too. Kind of like I quit. Think a lot of us have maybe been there at one time or another. Okay, you'll get the drift. You'll get really depressed by the time we're over. But if we let it, and that's the whole point of this. Exodus 32, the next verse there, 33 says, and the Lord said to Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Never mind, Moses, I got you here for a reason. Just go. You remember early on in Exodus 3 or 4, where Moses says, Lord, I am not eloquent. He wanted Moses to deliver the people out of Egypt. And he says, Lord, I'm not eloquent. I don't know how to speak. And the Lord says, yeah, okay, all right, fine. And here's Aaron, he'll help you. God didn't take no for an answer. And no matter where that man stood in his own, oh, I'm not worthy kind of thing to the Lord. And Moses said, blot me out of your book. In Daniel, it says, thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. He wasn't asking for his life to be taken. He was asking for, that's a spiritual death, what he's asking for. He says, I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to be with you. I don't. He just rejected the Lord at that point and quit. What does God do? the next verse. Therefore, what's the next two words? Now go. Just be quiet. Get out of here. Go. Go lead the people. Since Moses quit in his own strength to try and do things, God says, now I can use you. Is there the verse in, was it 2 Corinthians there? His strength is made perfect in weakness. Okay. We get weak, we get depressed. These people here, biblical characters, the Holy Spirit decided that they should be in here for a reason, for our learning and admonition. Let's go on. In 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah. And I'll tell you something. I'm learning hand over fist how much that Pastor Tom is teaching us with the miracles of Elijah and Elisha here. And it's amazing what will happen when you listen. Sometimes you learn. And it's cool. But, I mean, and I get excited about what's going on there, what I'm learning, and it spills out over here. But Elijah had the same, he's a human being, he's a man. And it says in 1 Kings 19, in verse 1, and Ahab told Jezebel that all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. This is already just after Mount Carmel, where they got the prophets of Baal, da-da-da, and he kills all these guys, the 400 prophets of Baal, and or 450. And then, then Jezebel's after him. Verse 2, then Jezebel sent messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do so to me, and more so also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow at the same time. What she did is she just put herself under a curse. Do you see that? And she's got the God, small g. If I don't kill you by tomorrow about this same time, 24 hours from now, then I want those gods to kill me also. So she's put herself under a curse. Verse 3, and when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. I quit. Okay? Jezebel's chasing him. So what does he do? She said, 24 hours from now, if I don't kill you, I want the gods to kill me, Jezebel says. So she put herself under a curse. How far into the wilderness did Elijah go? A day's journey, 24 hours. He says, I'm safe from her. She'll be dead. But then he prays to God, you kill me. He was done. So was the Lord done with Elijah? No. Look at 14. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, only I, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. The Lord says, and the Lord said unto him, go. Just like he told Moses, get up and go. Not listening to you? Return on the way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And so, if Elijah would have got his request, as I been learning from Pastor Tom, that he now commissions with that mantle. Elijah wanted a double portion of the blessings of the spirit of Elijah. He would have never done that with Elisha, and Elisha is a type of Christ. And so you do the math there. If he would have never done that, that type of Christ would never be in my Bible. By the way, if all these guys got their request to die and to die out of time early, we probably would have an NIV, a lot shorter version, a lot of verses missing, and a lot of doctrine missing. But I got my King James Bible that I hold to, and it teaches me. God teaches me through this book. But Elijah wanted to quit, but he would have never finished what God had planned for him to do. And he said, just go. We're going to take lesson from this. Now, if you've been listening to the radio at all, turn to me with me to the book of Job, chapter 3. Job chapter 3. People that have never been on the radio are teaching the book of Job. And I'm talking about secular news, just reading passages, talking about it, newscasters. And so here it is. You're going to hear it again. Job chapter 3, verse 3. Let's go into the mind of Job here. 3 verse 3 says, let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said that there is a man-child conceived. Job is not happy with his life as sorrow is coming upon him. He's already lost his sons, daughters, all his livestock, all the buildings that he had, and he's lost his health. He's sitting on a heap of ashes with boils. Okay? Verse 10 says, because it shut up not the doors of my mother's womb, nor hid sorrow from my eyes, why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? He's a little bit down, I think, huh? just a bit. Verse 18. Oh, I would go to chapter 10, verse 18. And I'm not picking on Job. I'm just, because if I was there, I might be doing the same. I put myself in his shoes. It says, wherefore then, 10:18, wherefore then hast thou brought me forth out of the womb, or that I had given up the ghost? Oh, that I had given up the ghost, and know how I had seen me. Now, here's a verse, 19. I should have been as though I had not been. Now, that sounds like a deep saying, doesn't it? You know, that's something you'd put on your wall? No, no. I should have been as though I had not been. I should have been carried from the womb to the grave. And so Job is... he's had it with his flesh experience, with his family experience, everything he's had, he's lost. But at the end of things, in Job 42, it says, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. And he came through. Job, at the beginning of his record here in Job chapter 1, it says that he made supplication and prayer and offered sacrifice for his family. Just in case one of my family members have sinned or cursed God, he says, I'm offering these sacrifices for them so that God would be pleased. What is that called? He's called, that would be a mediator. He's going between his family and God. And the same thing happened with Moses, and the same thing with Elijah. There was that similarity of being a mediator or an intercessor between God and man. Job was offering sacrifices for people. Does that sound kind of close to something? Yeah. What's that?
Catholicism?
No, no. No. That's in the next page over here. But Job didn't see the end from the beginning. He didn't see that. But we can see now, look back on this, and how many times in different stages of these men's lives is there a type of Christ? And it shows up, and you can't get away from it. If you study, if you look close enough, you'll see Christ in Scripture, no matter where you're at. But anyhow, he takes care of his family spiritually. Everything's taken away from him, type of the tribulation, and then he walks into blessed twice more than he ever had before. Type of glory, type of the kingdom. And so we'll leave Job for a minute. He's been picked on enough this year, I'm sure. Jonah, chapter 1. Job, Psalms, Jeremiah, Daniel. Hosea, Joel. Jonah. Just after Obadiah, if that helps you. Jonah. Chapter 1, verse 12. We know that Jonah was commissioned by the Lord to go to Nineveh to preach to that wicked city that they might repent. And Jonah went to go the other way. He didn't want to listen to the Lord. He was walking from the Lord. And he gets in this boat, and it starts to storm. And in verse 12 it says, "And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." So they knew, they cast lots, and they found out it was because of him in the boat, and that was the storm. He said, I guess Jonah, if you get into Jonah's mind, he figured whether or not he stayed in the boat, he would have died anyways. But he says, you might as well just kill me now. Just cast me over. You know, it's all done with either way you look at it. So he says, throw me in and into the sea. And they did, and the storm stopped. It says in Jonah chapter 4, verse 3. It says, "Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Wait a minute, Jonah. You already died once. Now he's going to die. He was in the fish's, the whale's belly for 3 days, 3 nights, and Christ confirmed that. He says, just as Jonah was 3 days, 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. And so it is my understanding that Jonah died. And then after that, he was resurrected to go to Nineveh to preach the word. Jonah, when he said, when he got on that ship to Tarshish, what was he telling God? I quit. I ain't going. Nothing you can say can make me go. He's a Jew, and he's going to go to a Gentile city to tell them to repent. Get out of here. I quit. I don't want to go. He's rebellious, but you know something? God said, I want my word preached at Nineveh. Is God going to have his way? Yeah. So Jonah dies, goes into the belly of the whale, goes to Nineveh to preach the word. Can you see Jonah? He's already upset. Been dead once, down in the sea, down in a fish's belly. He's a little bit down. All you guys at Nineveh, you're going to hell. Can you see him doing? Can you see him? A little upset Jew? Hey, you know. Jews don't do that, do they? That's Italian. But God wanted to preserve his word for that city, and they all repented. And was Jonah a happy guy after that? No, he was still upset. Verse 5, Jonah chapter 4, verse 5. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow until he might see what would become of the city. Okay, he's waiting for lightning and hailstones to come down from heaven to see this city judged. These are uncircumcised Gentiles, and I didn't want to be here. I didn't want to come here. I spent a whole night and 3 days in the fish. Come on. And he's waiting for God to do something. God's teaching him a lesson. He's teaching us a lesson too. We're no better than the heathen. We're no better than that city over in Nineveh. That's what he told him. Verse 8, John 4:8. It says, "And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished himself to die wished in himself to die. And he said, it is better for me to die than to live. He quit again, didn't he? He's just done. Or he saw something on the other side of death. It is better. This is something I'm going to ask him when I get to glory sometime. I mean, I have to go from glory to the kingdom or whatever it has to, whatever I have to do. I'm not going to go in a boat with him, though. And ask him, did he see glory or did he see death? What did he see? This was a time before Christ died, and so freedom from sin had not happened yet. But Jonah is here, says, it's better for me to die. Does that sound like something in Philippians? We'll look at the verse in a minute. But if these men would have gotten their wish, there's a lot of question whether or not we could get through our troubles today. They all got through, right? And they all ended up dying. Oh, maybe not Elijah. But every man's death that I've looked at is different. There's something different in the death of these men. Jonah died first, then he was resurrected. And then we don't have any answer to his final death that I know of. But I know Moses and Elijah, Moses and Job, we know Job lived, 140 years after his second blessing there. And so they had work to do after their death wish, if I can say it that way. Paul, Philippians chapter 1, let's look at the verse. Right now we're moving into the dispensation of grace and moving out of the time of the law and prophecy into a time what was never preached before. The Apostle Paul reaches up to the Gentiles in Philippians chapter 1. And he just says a lot right here. Verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He knew something. He was probably stoned on the way to, was that Acts 14? Did that happen before this verse? Yeah. So he may have seen Christ. He's seen Christ plenty of times. He got revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ. But he saw glory. He saw something that he couldn't tell us. Unspeakable words. And he says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So physically, if he's going to die, that's still gain. But he says, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I wot not. For I am a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart. Oh, Paul had that same, I'd like to go. The other guys just, Lord, take my life or blot me out of your book. Paul says, I'm having a desire to depart. Do you think he's been stoned a few times and whipped and beaten and shipwrecked? And yeah. And to be with Christ, which is far better. There's some hope there, folks. There's something that he knows and he saw. And we can only see it with the eye of faith, his stamina. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. So Paul says, I'm staying here in this body of flesh. But what does he say about the flesh? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. We've heard that verses a few times, right? If we've been listening, got our ears on. But Paul says, I'm already crucified with Christ. He doesn't have to say, kill me. He doesn't have to say, take away my life. He doesn't say, wish I was never born or blot me out. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Is he like Moses and blot me out of the book? Romans chapter 9. Paul is a man with human tendencies, but he's got a spiritual drive that won't quit. Romans 9:1, he says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow. That's called depression. In my heart. For I could wish that myself were what? Accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Blot me out of your book. About ready to... He's not ready to... He doesn't say anything about quitting. Because he's our spearhead. He's our leader, if I can say that, in our time of grace. Christ says, certainly, follow me as I follow Christ. But he said, I wish I was accursed from Christ for my brethren. He wanted to be on their side. He felt bad for his brothers that were going to be lost, that are going to miss the boat. They're going to miss eternity because of this, of rejecting Christ. Turn back with me a little bit to Romans chapter 6. Romans 6. And it's hard to pick verses to fit this study here because you could read the whole chapter, 6, 7, and 8 easily. 6:6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. All right. So I don't have to say, I can sing it. Take my life, living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. You can say that, but you're dead, your flesh. Reckon it to be dead. When God looks down, he doesn't see me and my sin. He sees the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have to ask, Lord, kill me, I'm done, forget it, I quit. But if you quit, do it biblically. Do it like the Lord would have Paul tell you what to do. Christ told Paul how to put this together, and the Holy Spirit set it there for us. Paul says in Romans 7, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He says, in me dwelleth no good thing, in the flesh. He's looking for the Spirit. We started out talking about it's a wonderful life. Isn't Isaiah 9:6 say that he shall be called a wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace? I'm missing the verse, but he's called wonderful. As you believe Christ died for our sins, if you believe that, you're what? Saved. So if you're saved, what comes to you? What dwells within you? Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ. This is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So I have Christ in me. What's he called? Wonderful. So I have wonderful, eternal life dwelling in me. Is this a wonderful life? Absolutely. All we have to do is kill the flesh. Let me say that clearly. Reckon it to be dead in God's eyes so that it gets out of the way and his Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, that starts to live out of us, and other people, whether saved or unsaved, can see that I have a hope. I have something more than what's dwelling around me, and the things outside that I can see, touch, and feel aren't real. It's God's Word that's the reality. And these men in Scripture, they were brought down, and rightfully so. Paul, once we get to Paul here, he knows something a little bit more that helps him with this hope. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Paul says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed, and we are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. At the end of the story there, in 2 Corinthians 6:9, it says, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, point to yourself, as poor and making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing all things. And so making many rich, not with cash, with Scripture, with hope, with Christ. Always rejoicing. Is that, Lord, kill me, wish I was never born? Oh, I'm so... You know, you see those things outside on the lawns nowadays at Christmas time or whatever, and when they, at night, they blow these things up with the pump, and the snowman's there, and he's going like this. And then they close it down. You know, sometimes I feel like the air's kind of out of me. And then the next day, Sunday morning, but it can't be the way. It's got to be all the time. It's got to be a consistent. Paul said he had continual sorrow. Let's have continual rejoicing as Paul, that same man that got beat. And he's saying these things to us. And then he says in chapter 11, he says, besides all things, the care of all the churches. Paul wanted the wonderful word of Christ to dwell and live through the entire realm of people he's talking to the body of Christ. Oh. Unlike all other biblical people, characters is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter says, who he was reviled, reviled not again. He suffered, and he threatened not. At the time of his, in the garden, as he was being taken, he says, don't you know that I can call my Father and he'll send me 12 legions of angels? I would have. He didn't call the army. He didn't call anyone in, he says, but he wanted to be faithful and true to the word. Here's the verse, John 10:17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. He knew he was going to die, and it was important that he died, that he might give us spiritual blessings. Got the flesh out of the way, and then the spirit would take over. The spiritual blessings would remain. In John 18:37, it says, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king? Then Jesus answered, thou sayest I'm a king. To this end was I born. He didn't say, I wish I was never born. He says, this is the whole reason why I'm here. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. In Mark 14:21, Christ says, the Son of Man goeth indeed, as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good for that man that if he were man, if he had never been born. Every time a bell rings. Well, teacher was wrong. It was good for that man. Here says, Christ says, if anyone is not believing in me, or not on my side, not believing the Scripture, it's good for that man that he had never been born. Everyone else is exempt. Believers, we are not on that side. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, that dwells in me. Wonderful. How are you feeling today? Wonderful? Wonderful. If you're thinking about throwing in the towel, do it Paul's way. Quit to the flesh, death to the flesh, then live. God can use you when you're sometimes at your lowest point. So, probably most of you know that. Paul is dying to self, and so that he might live for others, not in his own strength, but in the strength of Christ. We have a wonderful Savior dwelling in us. Let us let him live out his wonderful life through us. This is a faithful way, saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He said to Pilate, for this reason, for this cause, was I born. To this end was I born. And this came I into the world, and here it says that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He's not in the manger, he's not on the cross, he's not in the tomb. He's gone to glory to be our intercessor. When we have problems, we go to him, we go to his word that brings us up out of this world that we live in. We're in the world, but not of the world. Let's pray. Father, we're glad now for your word. We're thrilled to have something to rely on in a time of trouble. And people that have gone through this before, and we see how they've come out of it. Father, help us to take lesson from this, your word, and these other men who were just men, but you used them mightily. Thank you all because of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.